Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley, and B. Mitch is back. What up, B?
Chilling, brother. What's happening with you?
How were your travels near, far, in between? Let's start with the main event. How was graduation?
Fantastic. Didn't rain at all.
Great.
It was outside.
Was it Saturday?
Yeah. It was down there in Norfolk, but yep. It didn't rain. Wasn't cold. I mean, talking about right around 65, 66 degrees.
Well, you know? For all the talk of, it was kind of cold and rainy here. So yeah, that 2 hour buffer. Yeah, I bet.
Went down that way. But when baby girl's happy, I'm happy. So it's all that matters.
She's happy?
Oh, yes.
What happens next? Job, chill out for a little bit?
Oh, she's chilling.
Yeah.
She's like, well, you got to pay for the apartment for 2 more months. I may as well hang out. So that's where she's at. She's hanging out a little bit. But she'll be home in about a week or so.
I love it. I love it. So what else did you do? Did you stay the night down there Saturday night?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of party and go out to dinner?
Hung out with her.
And then
came back.
And you had the beer event at Walters, right?
Yeah.
How was that? Big crowd?
A lot of people. They sold a lot of beer.
Because you had Cinco de Mayo, Nats game, Defenders game. That's a
but
good.
But it was a little rainy early. So, you know, in this town, people act like slight rain is going to, like they're going to melt or something. Ain't too much sugar walking around, be honest with you.
Yeah, you play some golf at any point?
Yesterday.
Where'd you play yesterday?
Played in the tournament.
How was it?
Good. Yeah.
Make some money.
Raise good money.
Oh, it was like a fundraiser tournament. I can only imagine how many of those you get invited to, because I know how many I get invited to.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. And thank you to everybody that invites us to these things. I've been told that young women, after they have childbirth, like 6-8 months later, kind of block out the memory of the physical pain of childbirth, mm-hmm. because eventually they just want another baby.
Yeah.
I think people must enjoy our radio program so much that they block out the fact that we're on from 10 to 2 when they invite us to these golf tournaments.
I just think most of them are Mondays. Most tournaments are on a Monday.
Yeah.
And
with a 10 a.m. shotgun start.
Exactly. So I guess they go, well, y'all got some vacation time. You may as well use it. So that's what it's mostly about. I don't get it, but
right. It
happens. And some of them are fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of them aren't.
Right.
For the most part, when you get with a group and they're there to have fun, have some drinks, eat some food.
Sure.
And that place yesterday, you had food everywhere. I mean, you were tired of eating.
Right.
It was that much food. But every once in a while, you get the group where there's someone that's super, super serious.
Not in those tournaments, man.
Is this
a best ball? Like,
yeah, but you get some people who are super serious about we winning this, and I'm like, look, dude, take a chill pill or get the hell off the team. I know you paid for the team, but we're not putting up with this crap.
Not to mention.
And he's always the worst golfer.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's why he put the team together so he could win something.
Well, yesterday the group was great, man. Everybody was cool. We had two little kids that played with us. I think the little kid's mom, Bryce Matthews, okay. Mom and dad.
Yeah.
Little kid could play. Listen to me. At that tall, 11, 12 years old, makes every damn putt.
Really?
50, 60-yard shots, put him there.
Wow.
Hitting it down the middle of the fairway, about 175, 185 yards. He could play.
Wow.
And but I think the guy, George, who I play with, say he knows you. George have kind of long hair, but he say he got a ball spot right here. And he said when he cut it in the hair, his wife don't like it, so he just let it grow. But he's ready to cut it off again because he can't stand the ball spot.
I know a bunch of Greek dudes named George. Was it a Greek dude?
He had dark hair, so I don't know if he could necessarily. He could be.
I don't know.
Because, you know, not all Greek people are like the dark color. Some of them have a lighter color. So.
Dude, the amount of cheating in those charity, best ball, somebody. Some group comes in 20 under par.
They had people at every hole counting your strokes.
Smart. Smart. So
it was people at every hole because like, I get to the first
one.
What
was the winner in the tournament? What was the group?
You know, I didn't stay for it because I was exhausted after the whole weekend. And like, I'm driving home. But last night I got home. I didn't even eat. I laid on the couch. I woke up. It was like 11:30.
I haven't seen you. We had first communion for my daughter, and my whole family came over, and we were drinking some of the Kicking It With B-Mitch 30s
that you gave me.
Yeah, and everybody liked them. And folks that live like all over the area are asking me where they can get it, and I was like, well, it's in a bunch of bars. The best place to find out where you can get some, I've said, is just follow you on social media, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and I think that will only expand as time goes on here. You fell asleep, therefore probably didn't watch the end of Knicks Pacers.
I heard the Knicks won.
Sure,
I hear that.
That is a thing that happened.
I hear that. Minnesota is up 2-0 on Denver.
Yo, so I stayed up for Minnesota Denver. Because I was just excited to watch it. I thought for sure, you know, Denver would show up. Denver's been having these slow starts, but able to overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
End of the first quarter, I'm like, all right, you know.
Well, they're definitely in a slow start routine right now.
B, you didn't watch this. This was a thorough ass kicking.
I heard it was like 100 and something to 86.
Do you know what it was at halftime?
What was that?
I believe they had 35 points. I think it was like 70 to 35 at
halftime.
Anthony
Edwards, bro, is...
Dude. But
he's
last night, yes. But last night, this will sound absurd because whatever his final stat line, he wasn't dominant. Like it wasn't the Ant Show last night. Granted, he finished with 27, but it was the team defense. And early on, it was Karl Anthony Towns.
But Karl Anthony Towns is a baller, bro.
Dude, I like took notes last night because I was so mesmerized by it. At one point in the second quarter, I believe it was Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller. I know it was Reggie Miller. I'm pretty sure it was Kevin Harlan. Toby, just let me know if I'm wrong about that. At one point, Kevin Harlan goes, that's 11 consecutive misses for Denver. This is in the second quarter.
Wow.
And Reggie Miller goes, it looks like there's 7 Timberwolves on the court at one time. This defense is stifling.
Mm.
Towns
had 27, 12, and 1.
His shooting early, B, you remember, you know how much I love Sean Kemp and those Sonics mm-hmm. teams, right? Do you remember Sam Perkins' role on those teams? Just big, smooth shooter from the outside. Towns is better than that, but he reminds me of like that Sam Perkins role from those really good Sonics teams, like evolved by 30 years into what the game is now.
But don't you think...
He's a shooter.
Karl Anthony Towns is tall enough and agile enough to be a guy who can hinder the Joker.
Well, everybody was convinced last night because Gobert didn't play last night.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was convinced Joker would just go nuts, especially because Karl Anthony Towns gets sucked into some dumb fouls and frequently gets into foul trouble.
I almost had a triple-double, 16, 16, and 8.
What's that?
The Joker.
Yeah, but dude, it was non-impactful.
That looks very, very...
B, it was
elementary when to compare to what he normally does.
Right. Honestly, Joker was the best player on the Nuggets, but it was not impactful. They were so out of their element and so dominated by the T-Wolves that, like, I don't know.
They lost two at home.
Who's the third man in that booth? So I think it's Reggie, Harlan, and there's another dude.
Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford. So I was going to go to bed after the first quarter, and I was like, you remember when you watched, like, when Bama had that level, or the Georgia defense that won the first title 2 years ago, when it's just mesmerizing because everything is impossible for the offense. I was going to go bed at first quarter. Then I was going to go bed at halftime. But then I wanted to hear Chuck and Kenny talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm watching the third quarter, and this is an absolute ass-kicking. And you know how I get grumpy about staying up late watching, but I couldn't stop. Jamal Crawford had a line about, what's the kid's name? It's a hyphenated last name on Minnesota.
Alexander Walker?
Yes. Alexander Walker, I think, was guarding Jamal Murray. And he said, I just thought this was so funny. He's like, he's on him like braces on crooked teeth. It was suffocating. Like, I never saw the 85 Bears, but that's what they're playing.
So,
like
when I make the comment about sometimes you just speak truth, it seems so odd because a lot of people don't do it. If you play defense in the NBA, that seems odd.
Yep.
And if you have multiple guys on one team playing defense, that offense is confused as hell because they're like, we just went through an 80-something game season. Nobody did this. And you have to try to adjust to it. Hell, they lost two at home, dog. That could be a problem.
You're in trouble, dude.
Yeah.
You are in trouble. And so, like, Anthony Edwards last night, especially in the first half, he started slow, dude. He wasn't hitting his shots. But then he's just so quick that he's able to get to the rim, and it's unbelievable. But I think Edwards, because remember, they did all this without Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, Joker's just going to abuse Cat. And Cat played smart basketball. And Naz Reid is a baller. But for Edwards, dude, even early on when, you know, the jumper wasn't falling and he was getting other people involved because Cat was making everything in sight, that intensity, the way he plays, forces his teammates to keep up with the intensity.
Yeah.
And that's how you get that level of ass kicking.
The way he plays offense affects the guy that's checking him on offense when he gets the ball back. Anthony Edwards plays an intense game of basketball, which most guys rest when they're on defense. He doesn't. But he plays defense like balls to the wall. I mean, he plays offense balls to the wall, and then he gets on defense and he's still intense. That can wear somebody down that's not accustomed to something like that.
Sure.
You know, there are a lot of people who are very, very aggressive offensively, and then they get their breath on defense. He doesn't allow you that opportunity. And if you're not in great enough shape, and yep, I know it sounds crazy, at the end of the season, some guys aren't in great shape, some of them aren't. They're in great shape compared to most of us walking around every day, but for the level of basketball you're going to need, they're not.
You know who stole the show last night? It was a good night for the association. I tried to watch Puck, too, but the Bruins just kind of kicked the Panthers' ass. It wasn't that exciting of a game, even though I have the Panthers going through there. But who absolutely stole the show last night?
Who's that?
The dork referee in the Knicks-Pacers game. If anybody's ever watched...
Did he call a bad call, or was it a fantastic call?
I think there were a number of bad calls.
There's a number of bad calls in the whole playoffs.
But, B, he called this illegal screen that... It reminded me of the UConn-Iowa women's game. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe letter of the rule, it's legit, but you haven't called it all game, and then you're calling it here where the Knicks are down, and this completely turns the ball game around. It was a good game, and Indiana played really well. And I'd argue that deserved is nonsense in sports, because what happens is what happens. Nobody deserves jack in sports.
Not in the NBA, for sure.
But Indiana put themselves in a position to win on the road at the Garden, which was going bananas, and the refs made it harder than it should have been. And that the pace of that game, bro, the replay, commercial break, is a little bit nauseating. It's just so herky-jerky that you watch this really good basketball game, and, I mean – it's not going to be like the Pacers, the Knicks-Sixers series was, where it felt like 90s basketball, where it was like 98-96. Indiana wants to get up and go.
Yeah.
And so it was high scoring, and it was fun, and there's a lot to like on both teams. Hometown boy Josh Hart was awesome.
He's been playing some ball, man.
Brunson is awesome, but the refs were just so awful late in that game, man. And I'm not.
Brunson had 43.
But, dude, one thing I noticed.
Wow.
The Pacers got a last – should have been last possession, but the refs made it the ref show, and they ended up with two more possessions. But there was a critical defensive possession for the Knicks, sub 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled Brunson out. I got to look at the box score because I don't know if maybe he was in foul trouble, but, like, you don't go offense, defense there, right? Like, what if Indiana misses and then you get a rebound and you got to push it? Like, I was kind of stunned.
He only had two fouls based off of this.
That's what I thought. I was kind of stunned by it just surprised me because, like, I mean, I guess the way they all have timeouts and stuff, you can always just call a timeout real quick and, mm-hmm. and get him back on the court. But, you know, his game, I think, you watch Edwards and he's so young and so dynamic and was he the number one overall pick? He was like a top five. Like, Brunson is a guy that has developed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I saw something last night.
43-6-6.
It was the most points scored by a single college team in the NBA ever. Something like that. Like, because they have.
Are you talking about all the people that plays from his college?
All the Villanova guys.
Yes.
DiVincenzo had a big game. It's. I mean, Josh Hart is another Villanova guy.
They had 68 of the points themselves.
Yeah, I thought they had like 86.
Well, I'm just talking about DiVincenzo and Brunson.
And then
you bring
Hart
in, you know, you're talking about, what, 80, no, 92 points?
Yeah.
Of the 127?
My boy Tony T, that owns the Pug and many other spots, was tweeted out last night. He's like, how the hell am I rooting for the Knicks? V for Villanova. Like, I think there's some conflicted Philly people. You know what I mean? Like, dealing with all this.
Totally.
Toby, did you watch the hoops last night?
I had it on. I wasn't paying close attention, but I had it on.
Did you watch the end of Knicks Pacers?
I saw the very end, yes.
Was it just, it was like, you know when you watch a tennis match and it's going back and forth and it's really exciting and then it gets bogged down? It was so annoying how
but
the refs.
I mean, listen, man. I think all the leagues have to allow the referees to be able to call a game, because what happens?
Yeah,
is
apparently this one
they
dude...
they do one thing in the regular season, then they give them this agenda of we are going to focus on this. In other words, we need you to sway games. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, the other issue is these reviews just take way too long.
And there's so many of them.
It's everything.
And, oh,
everybody
that
has a review, they should have someone at home, at the office watching.
I didn't bring this up yet, though. The worst call in the Knicks' little comeback, I think it was Brunson tried to throw like kind of a – he was kind of in the corner between half court and three-point line, and he tried to throw like a bounce pass to the – imagine the foul line roughly. Mm-hmm. And the Pacers defensive player got his hand on it. Like, it was his hand was ruled a kick ball, and you can't replay a kick ball. So there's 50 replays in the last 5 minutes, and the one critical one, you're not allowed to replay.
Dude, you think when they make those calls where they know you can't replay it, they're not smart?
You think the league doesn't want New York versus Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals? It was really hard to watch the last
and
2 minutes of that
not
thing.
Not lean that way, right?
Dude, it was really hard to watch the last 2 minutes of that thing. Because God bless Indianapolis. It's a pleasant city. I've been there a number of times. But Knicks-Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals would be banana.
It will sell.
Did you watch any Landini? I didn't.
Man, you know Landini was asleep.
We have.
He had just had.
No,
Coke
that's normally when he's up.
No,
it's like 10.
He had red wine and soda.
10 would be like when he wakes up from his nap and then he's up till 3. Like. I feel like he probably watched the end of Timberwolves Nuggets.
He and Al Koken are the same people.
Nah, but yesterday was Mimosa Mondays.
Oh, Lord.
It was. Yo, what are we going to do for National Mimosa Day next Thursday?
We're going to have to go hard.
CK, I'm off that day.
Venus just declared jihad on mimosas. Who knew? We got
jihad on men getting together to drink mimosas. Yes, I'm going to call. I'm destroying that immediately.
I don't know the last time we could. Maybe there was a point last season, and I'm not remembering correctly. There's a baseball game three blocks from our office tonight. Mm-hmm. And there's a baseball game three blocks from our office tonight with some juice. Battle of the Beltways. Orioles coming mm-hmm. to town. Nats playing good baseball. Orioles in first place in the AL East. Let's do this. Mark Zuckerman joins us next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Layfield, we got to do is a Formula One segments next week, man. Miami just had that big race. Right now, though, Battle of the Beltways tonight. I'm fired up for this thing, B. I'm committed to watching an entire baseball game. And to help us watch it is our man, Mark Zuckerman.
Zuck,
what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm good, guys. This is a big step for you, JP. All nine innings, you sure?
It'll be on all nine innings. I have a little bit of ADD, Mark. I don't know if you're aware of that. So for me to lock in, you know, I got young children. Lauren's got tennis tonight. I'm in charge of bedtime. So it will be on all nine innings. I promise that.
Okay. Well, the good news is the pitch clock. So, you know, and a 6:45 starts, you might even be done before the kids have to go to bed.
Dude, you know what's funny? It's funny you bring that up because we had a bunch of family over this weekend, and somehow we were talking about baseball, and I was saying that I don't think any pro sports organization, or really just any sports organization, has done a better job with rule changes than MLB did to speed this thing up. And MLB's made so many missteps, but this is a grand slam for a pun.
Yeah, it's absolutely been a win. It's shaved like 25 minutes off the average game, I think. And, you know, it's funny, like the other day we had a game that went 3 hours, and you're feeling like, man, this feels like forever. Well, it used to be that was a good time for a game, and it was 11-8. So it's not like it's lacking in offense. So it's been a huge step up, and hopefully it's translating now into, you know, people in attendance and people watching on TV.
So, Mark, we got a team that's on fire and another team that's playing better than what people expected them to play. The Nats, are they capable of competing with the Orioles?
Well, I'm interested to see how this looks. Now, last year, they got swept. They only scored one run in the four games against them. So,
don't rub that in. You
know, yeah, so the bar is a little low here. But I think what we've seen from them this year, even when they have lost games, they have been much more competitive. They, for the most part, are not giving up a ton of runs. Their issue has been more scoring runs. So if the pitching holds up and gives them a chance, and actually I feel like they've been really good, and that they have a positive differential from the seventh inning on. They're outscoring opponents late in games. So I think the combination of their ability to score runs late and the bullpen's been really good. I give them a chance. I think it's a good measuring stick for them. Obviously, they're not yet where the Orioles are, but I think they're trending in that direction, and the hope would be that in a year or two, they can talk about that team the way that everybody talks about the Orioles now.
Dude, I that's how I view it, is that the O's had to tear it. You know, the Orioles had that kind of resurgence, was that roughly 10 years ago with, like, Adam Jones and Manny Machado and that team. And then they had to tear it all the way down and then brought it back. Obviously, the Nats got the World Series. If anything, the Nats seem a little ahead of schedule because that World Series was only five seasons ago, and the teardown was thorough, clearly. But I think the two stories, you hope, are really similar, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in the Orioles' case, they were really bad for a longer stretch. I think three straight full seasons of, like, over 100 losses, not just 100, but well over that.
Yeah, like,
so they really
games.
Were bottom of the barrel.
Right.
Now, they did a phenomenal job, one of the best jobs of all time, in their drafting and now developing of these guys. Every single one of them, for the most part, has become a star in the big leagues, and you don't often see that. Now, in the Nats' case, a little different because it's more about the trades that they made, particularly the Soto trade and who they got in return for that. We're still waiting to see if the draft picks they've made the last couple of years will pan out. It's still going to be another year or two, I think, before we know that. Then the real question is going to be, if let's say they keep going this year the way they kind of are and they hover around 500. Next winter, are they in a position to start spending on free agency again? You know, they have not really done that the last few years. We know when they were at their peak, they had one of the top 10 payrolls in baseball every year. So is ownership about to give Mike Rizzo the commitment to go out this winter and say, get an ace for their rotation or get a big slugger to play first base, something like that? That, to me, is how you can then turn a rebuilding team into a contending team very quickly. You already have a lot of the core pieces, young guys. Can you now bolster that with free agents? And if they can do that, I do believe that there's a chance by next year they are a contending team again.
Well, you know what's funny is we talked to Sverluga yesterday, and what's happened in Baltimore with Angelos finally getting out of here and the Angelos family leaving me and other baseball fans alone finally, it could really change the landscape of how everything looks between both clubs, TV, like there's so much that could change here. I mean, think about all the studs Baltimore is going to have to pay, right? Is their owner the guy to do that? And then in turn, does this allow the Nats to get back to – because they used to spend a ton of money. They love to defer it, but they spent.
They like to defer it, but they went to a point where they let some names walk out of the building.
Consistently. Sure.
And so what makes us think they're going to change now?
Well, no, it's a fair question, and I understand why anytime the issue of, say, C.J. Abrams pending free agency, which
sure.
is still like 5 years away, but of course, we've been conditioned around here to start fearing for the worst right away. Dylan Cruz hasn't even reached the big leagues, and we're already worried about what's going to happen because he's a Boris client. So I get it, and ultimately the proof will be in how they handle those situations. The point that I'll make, though, and I know it's hard to accept always, but it's a two-way street, guys. They can make offers to these guys, and I think in a lot of cases they have made competitive, maybe not knock your socks off, you can't say no to this kind of offers, but they have made real offers to all these players. If the players and their agents don't want to agree to that and they want to go to free agency, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. And I hope, I want to take Mark Lerner at his word, but he's kind of said, when the time is right, we will start spending again. I can understand from a baseball argument why you could say that the last couple winners were not the right time. Why are you spending a whole lot on, $200 million on a free agent when you're just trying to get from 100 losses to 90 losses? Okay, next winter, like I said, if these things go the way that it seems to be going, I don't think there's a real valid argument anymore for not spending next winter. So let's see, can they go do that? And then in doing so, maybe you now convince some of these young players like C.J. Abrams, hey, this is a place I want to be. And I want to stay for the long term because I see that ownership is committed.
Yeah, I think you're totally on board. I think it speaks to the talent of Mike Rizzo. I think he's just such a good evaluator, and these trades he's pulled off really have started to look like something entirely fruitful for the organization, even if I screamed on these airwaves about trading away Juan Soto, which I didn't blame Riz for. I blamed ownership, but whatever. It's a bridge we've now passed. And to your earlier point, Zuck, I looked it up. In 2018, the Orioles went 47-115.
Yeah, there you go.
Damn. Let's talk specific tonight, tomorrow, pitching matchups, who has the advantage where. I know it's Corbin Burnes on the bump tonight for the O's, right?
Yeah, it's Burnes tonight and then Kyle Bradish, who just came back from the IL tomorrow. So that's like their top two guys. And for a Nats lineup that has had trouble scoring runs, okay, this could be a little bit of an issue. Now, Trevor Williams for the Nats, the guy who was arguably one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball last year, and I'm even including Patrick Corbin in that conversation.
Damn.
Williams has been nothing short of phenomenal so far this year. He is consistently giving up 1, 2, even 0 runs. Now, they pull him at the first sign of trouble. They basically only let him go 5 innings. But that's kind of by design. They're satisfied with that if he keeps him in the game. They know that their bullpen has been good enough to then try to finish it off. So that gives them a chance. Tomorrow night, the kid, Mitchell Parker, who had the two phenomenal first starts of his career against the Dodgers and the Astros, been a little worse since then, but not bad by any stretch. And this is not like, you know, we're not talking about Steven Strasburg here. We're talking about a guy who was not expected to even be in this kind of position. So he's been a huge revelation for them. If they can get decent starting pitching, hold that Orioles lineup in check, if you can get to the later innings and you're close, I do give them a chance. I think that's kind of the key to it all. And if the Nats get on base, can they run? They've been phenomenal at stealing bases, at taking extra bases, putting pressure on the other team. The key, though, is you got to be on base before you can start running.
Right.
And the games that they've really struggled, you know, they've only had, you know, 3 hits and 1 or 2 walks. That's not going to work. You obviously got to get guys on early and put some pressure on the Orioles.
Zuck, we've established ourselves as, and just so we're clear, we are allowed to unestablish ourselves at any moment, but we have established ourselves as the foremost Mitchell Parker radio program in the district.
Yeah.
Largely because Mitchell's his first name, and then his initials are then JP. So we are big Mitchell Parker fans.
Yeah.
6'5 lefty, I'm all in until I'm not. But
which can be at any moment.
it has been fun watching them. And, dude, that's another thing I'll tip my hat to MLB on. The rule changes with getting speed back into the game, kind of removing the shifts, they make it more fun.
Yeah, no, it they're playing a fun and exciting brand of baseball. And, you know, it's funny, I you know, as we travel around the league and you start talking to people with other teams or other writers who cover them, they all kind of have the same opinion after they watch the Nats for a couple of days. They're like, these guys are fun. Mm-hmm. You know, there is an energy to the way they play the game. And it's the kind of style of baseball that had not been in vogue for a while. And I give, you know, I give them credit. Home runs are still important in baseball. And it's, you don't find a lot of good teams that don't hit home runs. So the Nats do not hit home runs. It's just not how they're built at the moment. But I give them credit for other ways to score runs.
Totally.
What's that?
Small ball.
Yeah, small ball. And you know, it's one thing to say you're going to play small ball. It's another to have the right personnel and to do it well. And, you know, you can run wild and get everybody thrown out, but they've been really efficient at it. And so I think they have smart base runners. And a guy who I think is starting to be noticed for the job that he's doing is Gerardo Parra, who fans may know him for Baby Shark and what he did in 2019. He's their first base coach, and he's in charge of the base running now. And from talking to the guys who've been working with him, they say he is so detailed. There's so much game prep going into it, studying opposing pitchers, understanding who you can run on, what counts to run on. I don't think it's a coincidence that their success on the bases has coincided with him taking over as first base coach.
That's a great little nugget, Zuck. I'm going to be at the park tomorrow night. I can't wait. Thank you very much for making time for us, man. I hope these are sold out, fun, good crowd games, man.
I hope so,
Nets
too.
Win the series.
I think you take a split.
For competitive.
I think you take a split.
I take the win.
Thank you, Martin. Sincerely appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Hope the people aren't yelling at you about
Facebook.
You see who's
actually for the split, huh? The Orioles fan.
I'm trying to be nice, man. Thank you, Mark. That's Mark Zuckerman.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right,
you can follow him on X at Mark Zuckerman, Z-U-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. And no, he's not the guy that invented Facebook.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Facebook, Little Nate X at 11. I will say something that I believe Toby has done. Dude, I find this incredibly hard to believe. I just got into a fight on my YouTube page.
Oh, you be all over the place, aren't you?
I'm all over the place.
In that 2 minutes, that 1 minute spurt, you talk about
you're
three topics.
You're telling me Montez Sweat's only 260?
About that.
He's big, though.
No, he's not. He's slim.
He's
Chase was thicker than Montez.
Yeah. All right, so they list
Montez
Sweat
6'6", right?
6'6", 265.
And he's about that. He looks just like
that. I would have had him at like 280.
No. I think when you look at him in his pads, but when you look at him out his pads, no.
Chase, they got an inch shorter, same weight, 6'5", 265.
But Chase looks thicker.
Yeah, yeah. And coming off the edge, you want that kind of length and range.
I mean, listen, man. The size debate in the sports, let's get past it. Elvis Dumervil was 5'11", 245. He got around the edge belly and all those 6'6", 6'7", guys, didn't he?
They're pretty damn good.
Right now, how big is Michael Parsons? Probably 230-something? 6 feet, 6'1"?
You think? I'll look him up. Micah Parsons, 6'3", 250.
Lie.
245.
He ain't 250. And I promise you.
Says 6'3", 245.
So by the time the season starts up a little bit, he probably.
And that's on Pro Football Reference.
He's probably 238.
I'll see where the Cowboys list them.
I can tell you by Pro Reference and all them places, they give you a number. Sometimes they write something or not. My weight was the same damn near for 7-8 years.
Well, there's nothing we've seen more than the way Brandon Coleman has been listed on various places. The fourth rounder, the third rounder for Washington, the presumed tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, he's listed, depending where you look, from 6'6 to 6'3.
Yeah.
And at guard, tackle, center.
He's all over the damn place.
Yeah. Some of that's.
But my
fair.
Whole thing is, ultimately, can you play?
Sure. Now you got me. Parsons. I wonder what they list him as. Linebacker?
Yeah, because they don't want to pay him. Hell, they list him at linebacker.
Cowboys list him 6'3", 245 also.
Okay.
I don't know how the hell we just got down that rabbit hole, but that's part of the fun.
But he's not even 6'3". He's about 6'2".
You know, I've seen him in person, but I don't know that I've like.
You've seen him in person. Does he look 6'3", 245? Or does he look a little smaller than that?
You know what's interesting? To your point. Yes, Landini?
The Cowboys designated Parsons as a defensive end because it saves them $3 million.
From being a linebacker?
Yep.
That doesn't seem right.
It's
no.
The truth.
Well, that was, I bet it's D-line.
That was pre this new, where all the new money that people got on the D end. Watch how quick they change him back to a linebacker.
See if you can read. Give me that article because I wonder if that's for franchise tag purposes.
That was. That was like, what was it, last year or year before last?
The difference is. Because there's no delineation on the franchise tag between D-end and D-tackle. And the D-tackle market for a long time held – what's that? Send it to me? Okay. The D-tackle market for a long time held that down, if you remember. But now the D-tackles are getting paid like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting.
He'll become a linebacker real soon.
All right. I'm reading now from CBS Sports. Dallas officially picked up Micah Parsons' fifth-year option. The surprise, however, is Parsons' positional designation. Parsons will receive his option as a defensive end and not as a linebacker. In this situation, the Cowboys will save roughly $3 million. Parsons would make $21 million as a DN if he plays under the option. He would make $24 million as a linebacker. That's fascinating.
What linebackers are getting paid like that?
Labeling Parsons as a defensive end is more than a cost-cutting move. Technically, Parsons was used more as a DN than as a linebacker last season. I know that. All right, now here they go. This will likely be a moot point given that Parsons probably won't play under his fifth-year option. It's likely he gets a lucrative long-term contract. Dude, I find that really surprising. I mean, if you just go through the over-the-cap numbers, it's what linebackers are making.
That's what I'm asking.
Fred Warner. I feel like we can name it. Didn't Roquan just get a big deal?
Josh Allen, $28 million.
Yeah, but he's a pass rusher.
He's a pass
rusher. Brian Burns, $28
million. TJ Watt. Those are linebackers?
$28 million.
TJ Watt is listening to a linebacker.
Those are DNs.
You could either say they're linebackers or defensive ends, and their teams say linebackers.
No, on over the cap, the linebacker contracts, Roquan making 20, Fred Warner making 19. Tremaine Edmonds making 18. That's how the NFL lists that?
I think this is how their teams list them. Yeah, the Jaguars list Josh Allen as a linebacker. The Giants say Brian Burns is a linebacker.
TJ Watt, you could almost get because the Steelers do move him around a little bit, but like, damn.
Yeah, I don't see TJ Watt dropping back very often.
No. I think it's a moot point because...
But it just shows you
what is
how petty and evil the damn owners are. Think about that. Oh, we gonna designate your position so we don't have to pay you. The dude's playing a position and he's damn good at paying. And they're trying to penny pinch $2 million, $1 million.
And usually Jerry's not that dude, but they're about to enter into negotiations and you wanna enter from the most advantageous spot. Little Nate X joins us next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.